Good morning, everyone. Good morning, visitors. Good morning to those who are listening or watching from home. It's my hope that you took home our lesson from last week, recognizing how loving, caring, inspiring, kind, forgiving, wise our Almighty God is. He's amazing. We need to turn to Him. Don't just come on Sunday morning and listen and feel good. Take the lesson home. Just know that God is with you always. Today, my sermon is titled Ambassadors for Christ. Solomon says in Proverbs that fearing the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. To fear the Lord does not mean to literally be afraid of Him. It is being afraid, being troubled by bringing grief to Him. You see, when you love someone, you never, ever, ever want to hurt them. You strive to respect and honor them, never disappointing them. Well, my personal illustration of this occurred when I was in second or third grade. If you can imagine lunchroom with a group of girls sitting at a table, we were chatty and we loved to laugh and have fun at lunch. And at a certain time, you're supposed to get quiet and get your trays away and start cleaning up for the next half an hour lunch session. Well, we, being the chatty, silly girls, just continued to make noise and laugh. And when the lunchroom lady came over, she said, "I'm going to call your mothers because you haven't gotten quiet and you haven't cleaned up your trays." Well, it took about 2 minutes, and I was crying like you wouldn't believe because I feared that my mother was going to get this phone call that said I was naughty and not following the directions. I feared that I wouldn't be there from now till 3 o'clock to explain what had happened. I felt that she would be disappointed in me. My day was ruined. When I got home, I immediately went and told my mom what had happened, and she said, "I never got a phone call." And then she went on to say, because she loves me, she went on to say that she would always give me the opportunity to explain that she would never let any phone call or anything come in between her love for me, no matter what. She would make sure that she talked to me first, and I should know that and be more confident in knowing that. My fear was the fear of hurting my mom. The fear of hurting our Lord should bring on the encouragement that we need to do good and live righteously. Because of what Jesus did on Calvary for us, we know He forgives in His goodness. 2 Corinthians was written by Paul to let the people of Corinth know that he loved them, even if their church had many problems. He also encouraged the people of Corinth to become God's ministers, and that would be what our job is. 2 Corinthians 5:11 through 15. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in the right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. All of our days will be reviewed in heaven. All of our works will be revealed to Jesus. Believers will be forgiven, and all that is wrong will go away. Living for the Lord, fearing the Lord, wanting to please Him, knowing Him by the Spirit, will bring a brand new life to you here on earth and in heaven. And I pray we find joy in living for Him every day. Living for Him, the one who brings joy, the one who is holy, the one who is omnipresent, the one who is awesome. Paul's adversaries did indeed call him a madman. They claimed that too much learning, too much reading of that Bible made him crazy. Paul and others recognized the learning and the lessons taught were to glorify God and to promote peace. Galatians 5:13, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." With his own blood, Christ purchased those who believe in him a freedom from the slavery of sinfulness, and we are forgiven. Paul warns the people to not use their freedom in Christ as an opportunity to serve themselves, but to serve others in love. We should be set apart as Christians, living as Christ had encouraged us to live. Moving back to 2 Corinthians 5:16-19. "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation." In these verses, the apostle mentions things that are necessary in order to live for Christ, both of which are consequences of Christ dying for us. Namely, they are regeneration and reconciliation. Believers are to enjoy the comforts of life and a holy difference. With Christ in our hearts, we are encouraged to live with humility in this world. Those who profess their Christian faith have a new heart and a new nature. Did you ever notice that in people? Think back to the people that you felt closest to, felt warmth, felt love. Those who profess their Christian faith have a new heart and a new nature. Old practices, old principles, old thoughts are passed away and revived by a grace that comes anew. This is regeneration. God is slighted by the sinner. However, reconciliation is always possible. God recognizes the struggle between the Christian spiritual nature and the human fleshly desires for self. This is the definition of reconciliation from a Children's Adventure Bible. Reconciliation means repairing a broken relationship. Jesus died for our sins so that we could get back together with God and be his friends. God wants us to tell our friends about Jesus, and then they become God's friends too. With God as our friend, we are able to be a part of reconciliation of the world to him. Everything related to our reconciliation by Christ are of God. Everything related to our reconciliation by Christ are of God. Take a moment to ponder. Am I following the plan Jesus was working on while he was alive? Am I following it while I'm at work? Am I following it while I'm at the grocery store? Am I following it while I'm with my friends? We learn about Jesus Christ many times by what others say and do. People are watching. We all know that actions speak louder than words. We want to strive to know him by the Spirit. And our Christian life, as our Christian life matures, we are able to recognize the Spirit-filled lessons. I was focused on this sermon all week long, and two things that come to mind would be, I took my mom out to eat, which was the highlight of her week, just getting out, and her cane fell. And it fell, she was across from me, and it fell down between us. And I just shushed it with my foot under the table. And I said, no, that's okay. Just leave it there. Don't worry about it, because it was out of the way. And this gentleman from the other side of the room came over. And he said, may I pick up that cane for you? Because it'll be easier for you to get it when you're ready to leave. From across the room. Second story. My brother was driving. He works in Quakertown, and he was driving behind some of the big stores in town. I don't want to say which store it was. And he noticed something and got out of the car to take a closer look behind the stores. And it was a young couple sleeping under a tarp. Knowing that the next night would be freezing, he called and said, like, what do you do when you come across people who are sleeping under a tarp behind a big department store? So I went ahead and I gave him the phone number of the shelter. It's called the Code Blue Shelter. And I haven't heard back from them if they followed through, but it's my hope that because my brother took that step and I could reach out to Code Blue, I do hope that they got back to that young couple sleeping under a tarp. I keep thinking if it was my son or if it was my daughter, I would hope that someone would take the step to help them. Two instances. There were more, but those two stuck out to me this week. Becoming a new creation in Christ, taking care of others. The old is gone, the new is here. These are Spirit-filled lessons. If we have our eyes open, we will see them. If we participate in them, we will feel it, Spirit-filled lessons. The struggle is always there, the struggle between human desires and the Christian nature within us. Study the way that Jesus lived his daily life. God is reconciled by what Christ has done. We can do nothing to reconcile God, for he is already reconciled to us in Christ. God wants us to be a representative for Christ while being part of the reconciliation of relationships. God assigned our sins to Jesus and freely gives his righteousness to us through our faith. Believers are joined to the glorified Christ at God's right hand. A poet named Spur wrote, God sees us as a masterpiece that one day will be done. His Spirit works through all our life to make us like his Son. Spending about 30 years in kindergarten and first grade, I am not the best artist in the world, but I was so excited when friends invited me to go to those paint. I asked if it was paint by numbers. It wasn't. You'd have to follow directions and create a painting. And so I went, and everything I do is like stick figures and looks like a five-year-old did it. And I was very, very nervous. So they said to like swirl the paint and add the color, and it didn't take more than 5 seconds, it felt like, but maybe 5 minutes until I thought, I can't do this. I don't know how to do this. And everyone else, I was comparing myself to everyone else, and theirs just looked better from the start. And the teacher came over, and I just thought, like, she became my best friend, this teacher, and she had a little spot here and a little spot there, and it really looked nice. And then we were painting again, and they suggested that I go and look at other people's paintings to get a really good idea of how it looked. So I went and I was looking at other people. These are the people that we walk with, we come to church with, like how I'm watching them and they're helping me. And so I went on and I'd add and I'd add and I'd add and I'd add. And I just was growing in self-confidence as I was listening to God. Right, making references here. And I was watching my Christian friends my self-confidence started to grow and I started to believe in myself. And that's what happens to all of us in our faith walk. Now, this is the finished project, and I don't think it's still finished. Like, I could still go back and paint the edges, and I could still add more to this painting. But this was the painting when I was done, and I was absolutely shocked. And when I think of God making a masterpiece of our lives, are we ever done? We're never done. We can go back. We can add more flowers. We can call more friends. We can add the painting to the sides. We can donate to a homeless shelter. We can reach out to somebody in pain. We're never done. God is creating a masterpiece of our lives, and yet we live in confidence that our lives are not done and we can always do more to glorify God. Bill Crowder wrote, "What a joy it is to have such a God who makes us new and never tires of investing his energy and effort into our lives." If you feel tired, go ahead and take that nap. But God is investing in you, so get yourself up. Call somebody, write to somebody, find a way to help others. And finally, 2 Corinthians, I'm coming to the end of the verses I wanted to share. 2 Corinthians 5, 20 and 21. "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who has no sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Our priorities shape how we think, how we act, and how we speak. When we come to Jesus, every sin is washed away. Faith is truly believing the word of God, and we can stop doubting right now. Jesus speaks to us through his word. His works are done through you and me, the believers. Now that he is in heaven, your thoughts, actions, and words should align with what Jesus would do and say. It truly makes sense that we should learn about God's word as it is his primary way of teaching us. I've heard the Bible called God's love letter to all who trust him. What a gift to have God's word available right at our fingertips. Knowing the word allows you to be a spiritual influence to your family and to others. Okay, so there are little pencils, or you might have your own pen. I'm going to give some verses so that this week you take this lesson home and go through these verses at home so that it resonates you within you and becomes part of your life. So if you would kindly, on your little bulletin, just find a spot where you can write down these verses. I'm going to be sharing about when we take hold of God's word. Okay. So the first one will be Colossians 3:16. When we take hold of God's word, Colossians 3:16. Now you're going to go home and you're going to review that this week. It is when we take hold, we grow spiritually. Okay. "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." Studying God's word helps us to grow in our Christian life, and we grow spiritually. Hebrews 4:12, write that one down. Hebrews 4:12. When we take hold of God's word, we become more honest with ourselves. Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." We become more honest. And sometimes this is an eye-opener. We are helped to see things in our lives that may need to be changed. And the next verse is 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good word. That was 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. We become equipped when we take hold of God's word, equipped for good works. Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Romans 12:2 teaches us that our minds become renewed. We think on things that are pure, and we are able to change the way we think at difficult times. Joshua 1:8. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it, and then you will be prosperous and successful. God's word will help us to be successful in life, to be happy in life. Feeling blessed, good feelings help us with our accomplishments, our work at home, our place of employment, while out collecting your mail, going for a walk, going shopping, or with others. Our accomplishments will be based on the Word of God. There is an unexplainable value to turning to and studying our Bibles in good times and in bad. God sees in all of us the voids, and he sees our imperfections, and yet he lovingly works to make us his masterpiece. We learn from God's word that we can and will experience reconciliation, the mending of relationships, and if there is hostility toward God, it will be diminished. Be fully present in everyday practices and be willing to find God's beauty all around you. Pastor Matthew Henry wrote, "The end and design of all this, that we might be made the righteousness of God, that we might be justified freely by the grace of God through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. As Christ, who knew no sin of his own, was made sin for us." He knew no sin of his own, and he was made sin for us, so that we who have no righteousness of our own are made the righteousness of God in him. Our reconciliation to God is only through Jesus Christ. We must rely on his righteousness. All Scripture is God-breathed. Take the time to read it this week, every day. Enjoy it. Add a little bit more time to your reading and studying. Discuss it with others. And recognize yourself as an ambassador for Christ. He never tires of devoting his energy and effort into our lives, for which we can be very thankful. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your love, your grace, your mercies, and your word. May each of us reflect on our lives and choose to live more pleasing to you. May all of those here and in our community experience the peace of Christ. Amen. And now it's time for sermon response.